Take your Bibles now, if you will, as we continue our study in Psalms. And I've preached on the 23rd Psalm numerous times, and I thought I might just skip over that this time, but the Lord just wouldn't let me. It's such a beautiful psalm, and I hope that tonight God will use it in our lives. The title of the message is The Secret of a Happy Life. The real secret of a happy life, and that's found here in Psalm 23. It's a beautiful psalm. Most of us would probably know it by heart, but we want to look at some of the portions of it and see what it says to us tonight. Probably, it's a very good possibility that when David wrote this, he was a teenager, a young man who really knew what it was to know that the Lord was his shepherd. And of course, he was a shepherd boy himself. Isaac Watts, when he was young, wrote the song, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross." Young people, young folks who know the Lord can have a walk and a relationship with him. And David did, and David wrote this beautiful, beautiful psalm. In the first three verses, we see what I believe to be the secret of a happy life. The secret of a happy life. Everybody wants a happy life. And so many of them are trying to find it in the wrong thing. But the answer is always to be found in the Word of God. Amen? And this is a place where we see it in the life of David. The secret of a happy life has to do, first of all, with our relationship. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, underscore the word Lord there, because that's an important word in the Hebrew. It is Jehovah. It is Jehovah. And that's a key word in the relationship of knowing who God is. It doesn't just say anybody is my shepherd. But he says here, the Lord, Jehovah, is my shepherd. Another way of saying what the word Jehovah means is literally, he is saying, I am. In other words, God is the eternal, everlasting I am. And this was a Jewish national name for God. And what he's simply saying is, the Lord Jehovah is the God that is eternal and everlasting. That is the God I'm talking about. Not just anybody, but God, the creator of the universe, the Lord Jehovah. Now, I like what he says here in this verse, the Lord Jehovah, the one who is eternal, is my shepherd. I like that word, my. It's a little word, but it's a very important word, isn't it? The Lord Jehovah God, the great I am that I am, the one who is eternal, is my shepherd. A guy was watching them unload a Brinks truck, and they took all of that money in, and he inquired a little bit and found out that they were taking $3 million into the bank to deposit it in that bank. $3 million. And one of the guys said to him, "Isn't that exciting?" He said, "It would be far more exciting if they were depositing that for me." Amen. The Lord is not just a shepherd or somebody's shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. Is he your shepherd tonight? If you're born again, he is. If not, he's not. But thank God he is my shepherd. That makes it exciting to us. Now, if we want to have a happy life, we have to have that relationship. And then he says, because that's true, David said, "I shall not want." I shall not want. The conclusion to that thought is, I shall not want, is two things. Number one, God is able to provide everything you need. I shall not want for anything. Why? Because God can provide it. Another thought that I believe is shown in that particular statement is the idea that not only can God do it, but God wants to supply our need. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want for anything. I shall not want for the money that I need. I shall not want for the peace that only He can give. I shall not want for direction in my life. I shall not want for hope for the future. whatever it may be, the Lord is my shepherd, and tonight I shall not want. I don't have to want for anything. He is the great provider and supplier of everything I need. And if you have not found Him to be that way, you have not found the true Savior. For He is the one who will provide everything. He is able to do it. Remember, our God is omnipotent. Sometimes I just like to think about how great God is, don't you? Just meditate on it. Brother Ball and I were talking. He was talking to some of us when we were eating the other night, and he was talking about some things that they had seen about the galaxies and how many out there and all of the stars and all the planets, and they just keep discovering more and more and more. And we could go into detail about some of those things, but suffice it to say, God is that great. Our great, almighty, all-powerful God. You know what? I was praying a little bit in my office today. Took a little extra time for something came up. I wanted to pray about it. I just got down on my knees there in my office, and I was thinking, you know, God is right here in this room. Do you believe God is omnipresent, that He's everywhere present? And then I thought, Dr. Barber, of Steve Vellante over in Africa. And I thought, well, you know, if he happens to be praying, he probably wouldn't be at the same time, but God is over there in Africa. And then I thought of Bill and Marcy in Mongolia and those people, and I thought, you know, God's there too. How can God be there? How can God do that? How can He be everywhere present and know my thoughts and know what I'm doing and watch what I'm doing? It's because He is the omnipotent God that He is. He has all power. He has all knowledge. He's everywhere present. That's the kind of God that we serve. The Lord God, Jehovah, that kind of God, is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want for temporal things, whatever they may be. We're reminded over and over. I was watching an old movie the other night, and one of those old black and whites. That's all that you can watch anymore, just about. And you have to be careful with them. And I was just relaxing and watching it, and they had an old slave, an African-American slave that had surrendered to be a preacher. And they were asking him if he was going to go with them, and they were talking about a challenge that they had. And he reminded them that the Lord, in His own way, in the way He said it, and he said something like this, but sir, he said, God's watching the sparrow. And I thought, amen. I don't remember much else about the movie, but that really caught my attention. God is watching the sparrow. Do you believe that tonight? That's the kind of God we have. He provides for the sparrows. You see them all over the place. You see them everywhere, picking up stuff, eating it. And He says, look at the lilies. They don't work. They don't toil. Now, I'm not suggesting you quit working and quit trying to make a living. We have some responsibility. But the point is that we don't have to worry. If the lily doesn't have to worry about its sustenance, you and I don't have to worry tonight. God's going to provide everything we need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And I'm glad that that is true. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. That's a God who gives us peace. You want to have peace in your heart, the peace with God and the peace of God, then know the Lord Jesus as your shepherd. And He will lead you beside the still waters. That's calm, peacefulness. I'm glad we can have the peace of God in our lives. And it comes through our relationship, knowing that He is our Redeemer, that He is our Good Shepherd. And He wants to provide those things for us. I believe the green pastures there could speak of the Word of God. You really want to have peace, just walk through the clovers of His Word and listen and pay attention, and God will give you peace in your heart. As you look to the Word of God, He'll take care of that, and He'll give you that peace, the peace that comes through the power and presence of the Holy Spirit of God, who is the Comforter. I'm glad that we have that kind of Savior. Not only that, He restoreth my soul. I'm glad that He can do that. That doesn't mean we get saved again, but that means sometimes the bottom falls out. That means sometimes we get down. Sometimes we're disappointed. Sometimes we just don't know what to do. The devil gets on our case and we begin to feel a little down, a little blue. We back away from maybe some of the things we've been doing, and we might even question God, and we just have a struggle for a little while. And we all go through those times where our soul seems to be aching, and it seems like God is long ways off. And sometimes you wonder, where is God? Is he really there? You know in your heart he's there, and you know he really is. Sometimes he dismisses himself for a while to test our faith. But I'm thankful when we go through some of the trials and the wringing out of our emotions and those things, that God is still there to restore our soul. Amen. We've all had problems. We've all been in those times when it was very rough. Many, many different situations, many scenarios in our life that we go through. But I can tell you, I've been through a number of them in my Christian experience, but I can tell you, the Lord has always been there to restore my soul. Sometimes I've had to rush to 1 John 1:9 and confess my failure to God. You know what? He's never let me down. He's always been there. The thing is, once we ask for his forgiveness and we know he forgives us, we've got to accept that, because he promised that he'll do that. That's our God. He restores our soul. If we're sorrowful, he revives it. If we're weak, God strengthens it. If we have a low ebb, God will turn that into a flood. All we need to do is go to him and ask him to do that. He restoreth my soul. Now, that's a secret to a happy life. You want to have a happy life? Recognize that about the great shepherd. And then there's the secret of a happy death. I'm glad that we can have a happy death. Amen. I was thinking, contemplating a little bit about the rapture and death. And as I was thinking about it, I was thinking, well, you know, really, I prefer the rapture. But in reality, what's the difference? In the rapture, you'll be changed. And when you die, you'll be changed. You'll be free from the body. And either way, it's really the results of either one are equally as great. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To be raptured. Now, I know we all want to be raptured, don't we? But in reality, the truth is, death is just as much an ally to the child of God as the rapture is to us. Think about it. We may not desire that, but really it is. Now, he's talking to the psalmist here, I believe, where he uses the word thou in verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He's talking about the Lord. He's talking about the good shepherd. And he's saying, I know you're with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, I've found out that in life, that one good thing about a shadow is it can't hurt you, can it? Now, I've had a couple that have scared me, but I've never had any that hurt me. A shadow can't hurt you. And by the way, you have to have light to have a shadow. And that's what Christ does. He gives us the light so that death is nothing but a shadow. He is the light. You can't have a shadow without the sunshine. You can't have a shadow without a light source. It's not going to be there. But a shadow cannot hurt you. In chapter 22, we have the substance of death. In chapter 23, we have the secret of a happy way to die. I think of Catholicism, for instance. The best that they can do for you is give you the hope that you might have a short stay in the fire, in purgatory. I mean, that's the best they can do. That's it. That's final. That's the best that Roman Catholics can do. A great evangelical of yesterday by the name of Dr. Opperman befriended a bishop while he was on a train. And then he went to talk. By befriending the bishop, he got an audience with Pope Paul VI. And this is a true story. It really happened. And so after he got through talking to him, in the end of the conversation, he said to him, I want to ask you a question. Do you know when you die that you're going to heaven? Do you know that you're saved? He's talking to the Pope of Rome. A true story. And the Pope said that he felt like that he had to have, first of all, it's a hard question, but I believe I'll have to spend a little time in the purging of the fire before I come out. And Dr. Offerman said, is that it? Is that the best you have? And he said, yes. Dr. Offerman walked away, and the Pope shouted out to him. He said to him, oh, but you see, Dr. Offerman, I'll have 700 million Catholics praying for my soul after I die. Well, you might as well hang it up and forget it, because it's over when you die. I'm glad we have more than that. I'm thankful we have more than the hope of purgatory. I'm thankful that we know we're saved and we're on our way to heaven. I can't imagine anything any darker than just having a hope that you might go to purgatory a while and get freed after being purged with fire over whatever period of time it might be. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? I know I'm saved. I know my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And above all things in my life tonight, the one thing that I want to know and do know more than anything else in my life is I'm ready to die and meet Almighty God. And I believe most of you in the Wednesday night crowd would share that sentiment totally. He said, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thank God, he's always there. Then he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Sometimes we think of that as instruments of whipping, but let's think of it tonight as the instruments that God used in a tremendous way as the children of Israel were going out in the Exodus. And what did they come to? The Red Sea, which is symbolic of death. And so the rod was used to part the waters so they could go over and get on the other side alive, and the enemy was destroyed. And then later they came to the Jordan River. And we all know the song to talk about crossing Jordan. It is very symbolic. Now, Canaan is not really totally the symbol of heaven, but we know what we're talking about. We understand all of that. And he's talking about Jordan. Well, how did he cross the Jordan? The rod is a symbol of the power that we have over the enemy, and the enemy is death, and thank God, the last enemy is going to be put down is death. Amen. And whenever we come to that place in our life, we're going to find that his rod and staff, they're going to comfort us. Well, that's the secret of a happy death. A happy life, a happy death, and then the secret of a happy eternity. Verses 5 and 6 tell us about that. He says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Isn't that a beautiful passage of scripture? He's saying here that the enemy is not going to prevail, and he's talking about the Holy Spirit anointing my head with oil, the presence, the sealing of the Holy Spirit, my cup running over, the joyful life, the Christian life. And here I'm coming now and facing death. And as I face death, you've prepared something even more for me. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. Folks, it's real. It's real. It's absolutely real. We're going to have a better life. Nobody's concocted a story that's not real, or some fairy tale that we've been duped over and somebody made it up somewhere and it's not a true deal. I'm telling you, it's the truth according to the authority of the infallible Word of God. Amen. And so he says, surely, no doubt about it, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will, not maybe, but I will dwell in the house of the Lord. How long? Forever. Surely goodness and mercy. Spurgeon said that goodness and mercy were God's footmen, because years ago in his time, when they would think about it, a rich man would have two servants that would ride on the coach. And so he's saying that these are God's footmen, servants who ride to serve us and to serve God and to make sure that we're there. And what is it that makes sure? Goodness and mercy. Thank God tonight for His goodness. You don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it. Nobody deserves the goodness of God. And thank God for His mercy. You see, grace is getting what we didn't deserve, and mercy is when God does not give us what we do deserve. And so we have two servants, goodness and mercy. God's goodness and God's mercy are going to see that we make it to heaven. And they're going to serve us well and are serving us well. And then He says, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I like that. How about you? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Not 1,000 years. Not 10,000 years. Not 1,000,000 years. But I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, that ought to make us happy. How to live happy, how to die happy, and how to have a happy eternity. Now, everybody's going to have a happy eternity. We know that. They're lost. They're going to go to hell. Isn't that sad? We need to help others get what we've got. We need to be sharing that and telling others how to be saved so they can have a happy life and a happy death and a wonderful eternity. Believe you me, there's a difference in the way people die, the unsaved and the saved. I've been there as any pastor, former pastor here, whatever has been, some of you missionaries, you've been there and some of you others have experienced it too. But perhaps we have more so. We've seen the wicked, the evil, the people that were notoriously bad, who didn't get saved, and we've watched some of them die over the years. And it's not a very pretty picture. It's not a very comforting funeral. But I've watched some of the saints of God die. The joy, the smile on their face, the tears, smiling and tears running down their cheeks. And maybe sometimes saying something, not hallucinating because of the drugs, but something going on out there that God allows to go on. And they see a few things. And I've seen them look up and all of a sudden just start smiling. And tears run out their eyes. And then they draw their last breath and go to be with Jesus. Believe me, there's a difference in those who know and those who do not know. May God help us to take it to others. John Knox, when he was dying, somebody said, "Do you still have the hope of glory?" He had no problem answering that. He had the hope of glory. Amen. And so do we tonight. May God help us to live the kind of life that says to God, "Thank you for your goodness and your grace." May we serve Him to show Him that we love Him. And may we be comforted no matter what we're going through tonight, to be happy in our life, to have a happy life. And when we face death, we'll have a happy death. And bless your heart, someday it'll all be over with, and we'll be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Hey, it's not going to be boring in heaven. We're not going to float around on some cloud cotton ball up there and play a harp and have wings and get bored. We're going to have a lot to do. God's got a lot planned for us. He has our mansion ready, and God has a lot planned for us. We just can't imagine. The Bible tells us we cannot imagine. There's no way we can imagine and fathom how wonderful heaven is going to be. Your loved ones that have gone on, they wouldn't trade with us right now. And it would be selfish if you could bring them back, if you did bring them back. If you could, it would be selfish. They're better off. They don't want to come back down here. But I thank God someday we'll go up and be with them. Amen. Let's stand, please. The secret of a happy life, the secret of a happy death, and a happy eternity found here in this beautiful 23rd Psalm. Now, Father, we thank you tonight for the prospect of a happy eternity and the prospect of the rapture or a happy death. And we thank you for what you're doing right now to give us the happy life that you want us to have, even though we have problems. Lord, somebody may have come in here tonight with a burden, with a heavy heart, And I pray that they might bring it to you and just turn it over to you and be reminded. Somebody may have come in tonight with pressures and troubles and fears and difficulties. I pray that tonight you might comfort their hearts, our hearts, with the truth of this 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Thank you, dear God, for your provision, for your love, and for your mercy, and for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.